Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the inspiration of the Scriptures. Now, if we were to ask people about the word inspiration and the Bible, many would say, yes, the Bible is inspired. But what do they mean by the word inspired? Some believe that God inspired the thoughts within individuals, allowing each prophet to choose in their own thinking and words how to best express the divine thoughts. But as we've looked into the Word of God, we've seen that the Bible teaches that God not only gave individuals His thoughts, but that He also selected and revealed the very words used to express His thoughts accurately, just as He desires. And we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, which is a foundational text for a study like this, in which the Holy Spirit of God has said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or as the English Standard renders it, is breathed out by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We've discussed and investigated what the Word of God says about the term inspiration, and we've examined several of the Old Testament passages that demonstrate the Old Testament claims to be given by God. Please turn in your Bible to John chapter 1. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Gospel of John, and I'm asking you to turn to John chapter 1. Now, in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 6 and verse 17, Jesus made this statement, "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me." Now, what does Jesus mean when He says this? After all, I know that Jesus is God along with the Father and Holy Spirit. And this is verified in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And in verse 14, we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Further, I also know that Jesus is truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus made this seminal statement, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so here it is that Jesus makes this very exceptional statement, which identifies Himself as the sole avenue by which a person has access to the Father in heaven. And again, He said, "I am the truth." So what could Jesus possibly mean when He says, "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me"? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to talk about the fact that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth as a man. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read a text there beginning in verse 18 in just a moment. Before the creation of all things and time began, God determined what He would do regarding mankind. And His thinking included His plan of salvation for mankind from sin through a perfect, sinless sacrifice of a man. A triune of God, that is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, determined that each would accomplish a different aspect of salvation, that they would each play a part, acting individually and yet acting as one. And again, this is the work of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Think about the plan which was put in place before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 beginning. The Apostle Peter says to the children of God who are dispersed, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." That means chosen before the foundation of the world. "But He was manifest in these last times for you." So Jesus was selected by the Father before the foundation of the world to be this perfect, sinless sacrifice for the sin of mankind. Jesus, who is God, came to this earth as a man among men. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 8 tells us this. By inspiration, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Isn't this amazing to think about the fact that God had the foresight, the divine wisdom, to not only plan for creating mankind upon an earth in a created universe and world, but also could anticipate that there would be a violation of divine law and the opportunity to provide salvation from the condemnation that comes from sin. And that that plan would be worked out through his Son, who was chosen before the foundation of the world to accomplish this. But he was, as Peter said, manifest in these last times for you. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so all that Jesus did and said while on this earth, he did and said as the Son of God. Now let's keep in mind the text we're thinking about in John 7, verse 16, in which Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Let's continue to think about this, that Jesus said he speaks for God the Father. As we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 6, look at John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. John records for us these words of Jesus, in which he said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In all that Jesus said and all that he did, he was fulfilling his part of that divine plan that was established before the foundation of the world. Now keep this firmly fixed in your mind as we go to chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 16 and verse 17. Jesus answered and he said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Now again, what did he mean by that? I don't think that Jesus is saying here that if you want to know the truth, God will send someone to teach you the truth. Now does he do that sometimes? I believe the scriptures indicate that he does. I believe the scriptures present to us a picture of faithful disciples going into all the world, preaching and proclaiming the gospel, not just to those who are far off, but also to their neighbors, to their friends, to their family members. And I believe that's the providential working of God. But that's not what this passage is talking about. The teaching of Jesus is not his own, but it came from someone else. One of the strongest evidences that this book, that is the Bible, is given to us by God and not by man is the message itself. And that's what Jesus is saying. "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." It's interesting to notice that Jesus not only says it's not mine, but then immediately points to whose it is. It's him who sent me. Well, who sent Jesus? Well, he came from his Father. Further, Jesus said that you can determine if this message that he's proclaiming, that he's declaring, the gospel, you can determine if this is in fact from God or by man by honestly reading it. He says, in the text we've just referred to in John chapter 7, 16 and 17, "If anyone wills to do his will," that is the Father's will, "he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Now let's think about that for just a minute. By an honest, fair, and complete examination, every person of sound mind can come to the same conclusion, that this book, this teaching, is from God and cannot be from man. Now, if we leave out one of these qualities in our examination, we aren't being fair. If a person approaches a study of God's Word with dishonesty, they will not acknowledge what is plainly presented in the Word. If a person reads the scriptures and won't treat them fairly, well, they won't receive any benefit or blessing from them. If a person will only pick and choose a part or parcel of God's word and not give themselves to a complete examination, well, they cannot come to the appropriate conclusion that this is a book of divine origin. And if a person does not have a sound or healthy mind, there may be difficulty in understanding the word. But you know, as created beings with evidence for God all around us, we should give the word, which claims to be from God, our full attention by an honest, fair, and complete examination. Let's take a few minutes to look at five passages from the Gospel of John and consider that the words of Jesus came from God, his Father. And I ask you to turn to John chapter 8 and verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Now Jesus is speaking about his death upon the cross. He says, at that time, at that event, and by that event, his deity will be beyond doubt. And with the confirmation of his deity, well, his teaching is confirmed. Pay attention to what Jesus said about his message. He said, "As my Father taught me, I speak these things." He didn't say, "I speak some things like these things." He didn't say, "I speak other things than these things." He said, "As my Father taught me, I speak these things." There is an integrity to the words that are being carried on from Father to Son and shared with others. And Jesus said, "When you see me lifted up, you'll know that I am he." A claim to deity, because that's exactly who he is. Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth as a man, and he speaks for God the Father. Now let's turn over in our Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going from John chapter 8 now to John 12. I want you to pay attention to the words found in verse 48 through 50. John chapter 12, verse 48 through verse 50. Jesus gives us this stern warning, and really an opportunity, by saying, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Now first, notice again that word of warning and of opportunity. Don't reject Jesus. You need to receive his words, because it is those words that will judge us on the final day. But then let's really get to the text that is the focus of our attention. Jesus here said that the very words of God the Father were given to him. He addresses the accuracy of his teaching, the integrity of his words. He said, "Whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Now it's important that we recognize that Jesus is responsible for doing that which his Father commands, and in that providing us with, as he said, the command which is everlasting life. Again, that gives us hope, that gives us opportunity to receive the words and to obey the words, because they are the words of the Father. Now let's go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Again, there are several points in this text. Briefly, we see that there is this conditional statement made. If anyone loves me, well, then what will that person who loves Jesus do? Keep his word. What happens as a result of that? There is a reciprocal love by Father on that person. There is a relationship then that develops. But I want you to then notice, and this is really to the point of our lesson, the Lord makes his point that Jesus' word came from God the Father. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. God the Father gave him the word. God the Father gave Jesus the commandment. God the Father gave him the teaching. It was and it is God's word because Jesus received it from God. This is the word Jesus spoke as the Son of God while he did his work in the divine plan of salvation for you and for me. These are the very same words which Jesus passed along to the inspired apostles and New Testament prophets. Let's go ahead in our text and go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, as it's sometimes called, Jesus is praying to his Father on the night in which he was betrayed, and he said in John chapter 17 and verse 8, "For I have given to them, that is, the apostles, the words which you have given me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Now there's a lot, again, in these words. First, notice that the word which was given to Jesus, which he then shared with his apostles, prompted, encouraged belief and a knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is divine. But again, let's focus for our lesson on the inspiration of these words, that it is God-given. Notice that Jesus used the term words, which is plural here. He didn't say word, which is singular in this prayer. He said, "I have given to them, the apostles, the words which you have given me." This again supports the idea that is presented throughout the scriptures that God gave his inspired prophets the very words that are to be transmitted to mankind, not just the thoughts, but the very words, so that they can be accurately recorded for the benefit, the salvation of mankind. Now let's stay in this text in John chapter 17 and look at one more text. John chapter 17, verse 14 now. Jesus said to his Father, "I have given them, the apostles, your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." As he was praying to his Father in heaven, Jesus said, "I have given them your word." Now, when he says your word, Jesus is referring to the message of the gospel given to him. It is that body of doctrine that is revealed by God to the Son, by the Son to the inspired apostles. But again, notice the possession. It is, as Jesus said to the Father, your word. And Jesus has faithfully given them that word. That message was faithfully given by Jesus in the very words that God the Father had given to him. Now, in our next lesson on this subject, I want to consider the work of the Holy Spirit in the inspiration of the Scriptures, in the delivery of these words of the Word. Now, the Bible teaches us that God not only gave individuals his thoughts, but that he also selected and revealed the very words to express his thoughts accurately. We've considered just a few of the Old Testament texts last week that express the principles that this book, the Bible, is the Word of God, that it is God-breathed. And then in John chapter 7 and verse 16 today, we have discussed and considered Jesus in his statement saying, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Now finally, as we bring this lesson to a close, if this is, in fact, the Word of God, if this is given by the Creator to his creation, to you and to me, then we have a responsibility to be honest, fair, and give a complete examination of the Bible, the Word of God. Not only are we to obey it, but then, involved in that obedience is sharing it. Now, some folks will accept the gospel and obey it to their salvation. Some folks will challenge us when we present the truth. And that's exactly why we need to be educated in these basic truths so that we can help others come to a knowledge of the truth and to obey it for themselves. If you need to obey the gospel, then don't hesitate, don't put it off. Obey God's word today. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and live a faithful life to God who created you. And look forward with hope to a home with Him in heaven when this life is over. Thank you for listening. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.